Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
2 hours in, and we're rolling. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello out. Good conversation with my man Beto Duran, talking a little Lakers. This is a time where we normally would play Chris versus the fans, or Tony versus the fans. Unfortunately, we can't play that today. I will allow Scraby, if he chooses to let you know why, but he's got a new game that he wants to play that I'm not that keen on.
And I'll be honest. Why is that?
Because it's about me, and I don't really necessarily enjoy talking about myself.
I know. We're going to go and play Tony versus the fans tomorrow, mainly because I didn't write questions,
I wasn't going to out you.
I did write other questions, so we're going to change the game a little bit, and it's going to be about Tony's playing career. I'm going to ask him questions about his playing career. And then the caller is going to guess whether or not they think you know it.
Oh, we're actually involving callers on this, too.
Oh, of course. Of course. So we're just going to kind of play this game and see what happens. Tomorrow we'll be back to Tony versus the fans.
All right. Well, before we get into the game, because I don't know how long this is going to actually
833-288-0973.
And what is the prize you're giving out for this?
Oh, the prize is going to be a good one. It's a Sammy Hagar prize. I know that. Yes, it is. Grand prize, a trip for two to see the Sammy Hagar show in Las Vegas, including two tickets to the March 20th show, a two-night stay at Park MGM, and a $100 gas card. I should say you'll be qualified if you win, not you won't win the grand prize until the end of the month. Sammy Hagar returns to Las Vegas with his Best of All Worlds Las Vegas residency. Get ready to rock with your favorite hits from the Van Halen years, Sammy solo hits, and more, only in Las Vegas is March 11th through the 21st and September 18th through the 26th at Dolby Live at Park MGM. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. So that's what we're doing there.
Real quick, because I didn't see it. Do you know why Amara St. Brown is apologizing?
Yes, I do.
Is that a big five?
No.
What is he apologizing for?
He got punched by another player during a game. That player got ejected, but videos come out showing Amon-Ra punching the guy two plays earlier. So that's why he's apologizing.
I also see that he got into the end zone and did Donald's dance.
He did the Donald dance because he was there.
I think he's also apologizing about that too.
Why apparently. Is he apologizing? I mean, you don't need to apologize for that. It's
he
just
said
a dance.
If he offended anyone.
Oh, I'm sorry. He must have gotten some mentions.
He must have.
I can understand the dance because the president was there, so he thought it was cool to point at the president and do a dance.
You have to have, like, elite non-rhythm to do that dance.
And Amon-Ra St. Brown probably has rhythm.
He probably does, which makes it even more impressive.
That's why I would be great at the Donald dance.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. All right, let's try this game that you have here, buddy.
Yeah, we're just going to get into it.
We have no music, open, no nothing.
No, we're going to have a bed for the questions.
No, if this game is not good, we don't need for a bed.
If this game is not good, we are never
going to do it again. And by the way, my career isn't long enough for us to do it that many times. We're going to have like two games if we could do this.
No,
with.
I told you. Tomorrow we're back to Tony versus the fans.
Thank you.
Because you're not comfortable with this whole thing. All right, let's get to our first contestant. Oh, I need to read the rules, which are... There's no rules today. We're making up rules as we go. So, there we go. Let's go to our guy, John, in Temecula.
Hello, John. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Tony. Hello, Scravy. Doing great. Commute home. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Doing all right. We're about to try this game out here. Hopefully it's worth something.
So what you're going to do...
Yeah, I heard. Let's see what Scravy's got up his sleeve, huh?
All right. So what you're going to do is going to get... I'll just prompt you. Just be ready. Tony?
All right.
Yes.
Don't answer. I'm going to ask the question, then you go back to John. The question is, what pitcher struck you out the most in your career? John, do you think Tony's going to know this or not?
Oh, yeah. Tony's going to know that.
Tony knows this. Tony, do you know who struck you out the most in your career?
Matt Cain.
Matt Cain. Incorrect. So John moves on. I like this game already. It was, I mean, you struck out against a guy who struck out a lot of people. Ubaldo Jimenez.
Oh, yeah. He got Jimenez. Me a few times. All right.
Yeah. So there we go. This is kind of how this game is going to work. Let's go to the next one. I'm going to add a bed. What season did you have the most hits for the entire year? What year?
2009.
Oh, wait. I was supposed to ask John. But John, do you think Tony got the right answer or not?
Yes.
He does. That is correct. So, John, you are eliminated. I'm sorry. Wait.
I got it right. That's all I know. You, it's your game.
Oh, wait. No, so John is not eliminated.
He's not eliminated.
I'm not very good at this.
Because he said I would get it right.
Yeah, I'm not very good at this coming up with rules on the air thing. So we're going to go on to our next question. All right, Tony. Here's a tough one. Name three guys of the seven that you hit a home run off of. John, do you think he's going to know this?
Yeah, he knows that for sure.
Okay, he knows that for sure. Tony.
I got to name how many?
Three of the seven.
Wow. Hold on. It's going to come to you. Kevin Millwood.
Okay.
I'm drawing blanks now all of a sudden. Rodrigo Lopez.
Okay. Give me the third one.
I can't remember the straight leg. Dude, you pitch for, the Reds. Oh, my God. It's going to bother me. Okay, Chad Billingsley.
Chad Billingsley. All right. Well, you did get it right, which means I don't even know what that means, to be honest.
He said I was going to get it right, so that's three.
Okay, John, you win.
Terrible game.
This was maybe, John, stay there. This was maybe one of the worst games I've ever come up with.
You didn't quite think that.
No. I thought this was going to be a hit.
No.
You did get three. The straight leg guy, Bronson Arroyo.
Bronson Arroyo. Damn.
You also, I've never heard of this guy. Edgar Escalona.
Colorado.
Zach Greinke.
Yeah, forgot about that one.
King Felix. You had some good home runs. You had Zach Greinke.
King Felix was inside the parker, though, if I'm being honest. I didn't hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Still counts. You still had to run around the bases.
It does indeed.
Cole says, started strong, finished rough. Yeah, that was...
I just had a feeling that this wasn't going to go well.
Tony tried to talk me out of it. I believe in this game.
I was like, you sure you don't have any questions we can just like make up? You know you're good at making up terrible questions.
Yeah.
He really wanted to try the game. So,
hey, audience, I apologize for just wasting the last 7 minutes of your life.
Michigan State University. Hit with a 3-year probation ban in football. Do you remember? He had a great season. Do you remember Mel Tucker?
Yeah. Mel Tucker, the
head coach, right?
Yes.
For Michigan State.
Yes.
Remember, he was like, had a great season, and then it all came crashing down once kind of started kind of peeling back that curtain. It wasn't going to it. This is in relation to that. The violations occurred due to participation in three ineligible players. Now the Spartans will vacate all 14 wins from the past three seasons. A school spokesperson confirmed that includes all five wins last season during Jonathan Smith's first year as a coach.
I don't understand why they take away wins. It doesn't mean anything, really.
It really doesn't.
I guess it hurts the coach because now he doesn't have those wins to his credit. But
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't do anything.
It doesn't. They've already played the season. They've already done what they're going to do. They've already gone to their bowl game. But wasn't there something else with this guy? It was like
some misconduct
stuff. Allegations. Also, his team, was it his team when Michigan and Michigan State?
Was that his team?
When they were like throwing, they were throwing
they
helmets.
They like jumped a dude.
Yeah,
in
they
the...
jumped a player in the ramp back to the locker rooms. It was kind of crazy.
All bad.
All bad.
Mike McDaniels had a thought of you over the weekend after watching him talking about Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
He said he's forever indebted to Dan Quinn because that was who helped him when he had his drinking problem.
Yep. I would find it really hard to be an alcoholic and an NFL coach at the same time. But that's what Mike McDaniel was doing, so I have a whole nother level of respect for him. But I like when
he
stories
might not be
like
doing
this.
It for very much longer, but I'm just saying.
True.
That's something that seemed like it could trigger you back down that.
Yeah, and you know what? Taking over a head coaching job, assuming all that pressure, not doing well, it is dangerous.
But on the flip side, it could also keep him on the path he's on because there's so much that you're managing, you don't really have time to throw one back, I guess.
Yeah, it's no.
I mean, I guess
don't.
You find time to do it, but
that's the thing in AA is, I don't have time to go to the meetings. Well, you found time to drink, so you can find time to go to the meeting, sir. But I like that Dan Quinn was able to help him. I didn't know that about Dan Quinn either, but I did know that Mike McDaniel was sober, and I'm glad that he's doing well because that would be
not
tough.
Not only is he a head football coach, he's also doing it in Miami. Like, there's a lot of temptation everywhere for him.
I mean, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there was a coach that was kicked off the Miami coaching staff because he was doing drugs at the facility.
I forgot about that.
Like, insane.
Was that 10 years ago? It might have been less than that.
It may have been, but I know it happened, like, recent-ish.
Crazy. But
that dude was actually doing drugs in the facility, which is crazy to me.
All right, let's get to break. On the other side, we jump right back into Aztec Hoops. LZ Harrington, the freshman we've been raving about, he's going to join us next. Talk a little more basketball. More Gwen and Chris.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
4:18 on the clock. We jump right into it. Our next guest having a good start to his freshman season. LZ Harrington joins us, freshman guard on the Aztec Hoop team. LZ, how are you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm good. Just got out of practice like an hour ago. I'm good.
LZ, you guys, you showed up, I would assume. At what point did you get on campus and start to kind of assimilate yourself?
We started... I want to say our summer session started July 7th, but me and Tay got here a little early. We got here like June, like the second week of June.
So you guys
started doing workouts and stuff. We've been here for a minute, yeah.
So you guys have been here for a minute. Season starts. You guys are off to a pretty good start. You're getting some good minutes, being able to contribute. What's been your takeaway being on the Mesa for as long as you've been here since June and the start to the season so far?
Honestly, it's just been really fun. I think practice every day, like how hard practice is, has prepared me so well for the games. Like, it's made the games, I don't want to say easy, but, like, it feels easy just compared to what I'm used to seeing every day. But, yeah, it's just been fun, and I'm so grateful that the coaches trust me enough to play me as much as they've been playing me. And I'm super excited, you know, to continue next week with Troy, and then we get to go to Vegas.
Yeah, you guys, the schedule seems to start to get a little bit tougher as we move forward. You come in to San Diego State a pretty decorated with a pretty decorated high school career. I mean, you had opportunities to go, you know, through the old Pac-12, USC, UCLA, Arizona State, even a place like Harvard. What was it about San Diego State that, you know, grabbed your attention and had you wanting to be a part of it?
I mean, the biggest thing for me was just, like, the family culture. I know you've heard that before. It's just, like, how the coaches and the players treat everybody. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, yeah, we're basketball players, but we're humans first. And so, like, human stuff that comes up, like, they're giving with that. And, like, it won't affect your minutes or how much they believe in you on the basketball court. Like, they understand that we're people first. And they really pour into that aspect of our life. So, like, that's the biggest thing for me.
Talking to LZ Harrington of the Aztecs basketball team here on 97.3 The Fan. And as Tony pointed out, you were very decorated in high school. You were named Max Preps California All-State Team, CIF Southern Section All-Open Division Team, Trinity League Co-MVP. I could go on and on and on. But what are some of your goals now that you're at the college level? And what are you trying to accomplish this year?
So I feel like most of my goals right now are team-based because I don't really want to get caught up in, like, player goals because that's when you put unnecessary pressure on yourself, yeah. In my opinion. So, like, as a team, I feel like we're so good and we should win the Mountain West and we should go deep in the tournament. Like, I don't – like, my goals as a team are more on my mind than self-goals, but, like, I'd be lying if I said I don't want to be, like, the freshman of the year in the Mountain West and, like, I don't want to go to the NBA and I don't want to do those things. But, like, I just think as a team, we should definitely win the last year of the Mountain West and, like, I feel like we have the team and we have the depth to go really far in the tournament. So those are my two main goals.
Yeah, look, there's no shame in wanting to accomplish those things. I think us Aztecs fans want you to accomplish those things. It generally mean that the team is probably playing pretty well. You guys, as I mentioned, you guys are getting ready to start playing the tougher part of the schedule, right? Troy, next week, you move into the players tournament there. You got Michigan, you got Oregon, and perhaps some other tough teams. I mean, how much did that, getting a taste of that kind of play when you guys scrimmaged against UCLA there, how much does that come into play in terms of preparing you for that type of competition?
You're saying, like, how much did the UCLA game prepare me?
Yeah.
Or just these games before? Yeah, I think UCLA, it was really good that we got to play a top team first because, for one, it makes it, like, it can't get any harder than this. Like, that's your mindset, especially not playing a college game before.
Right.
You play UCLA first, and you're like, okay, this is the best of the best. So that was really good. But honestly, by the second half, by the time I was out there, I was like, it's just basketball.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it helped me realize that just because they're a top team, like, we're still out there playing basketball, and it's the same game. And it's honestly more fun when the teams are good, in my opinion. Like, it brings the best out of you. And so those are games I look forward to the most. And yeah, I'm super grateful for that UCLA game, and I'm super excited for all the big games we have coming up.
You guys were able to kind of dismantle Long Beach State, Idaho State, gave the best effort they could, but you guys pretty much handled them as well. I mean, in terms of how you fit into this rotation and the things that you bring to the table, just talk a little bit about those things. I saw you kind of handle the ball on the break. I saw you finish on the break. What's the strongest part of your game right now, you think?
I just think I've been a playmaker my whole high school career, and so I think that's just what I have the most reps at is making plays, whether that's passing or scoring. Yeah, I think that's probably my best attribute. Like, I feel like I'm good at thinking the game and, like, figuring out what's going to work versus what's not going to work. But I also understand, like, we have a lot of playmakers on our team too, and so it's not always about that. It's about how can I affect the game on the defensive end, and how can I try to get a rebound? That's something I'm trying to work on, and I'm really learning that there's so many different ways you can affect the
right.
game. That you, like, you don't need the ball in your hands. Like, you can do so much. And so I think that's another big benefit of me coming to school here is having to play with a bunch of talented guys.
Freshman hooper LZ Harrington joins us here. Freshman on the San Diego State hoop team. And LZ, was it difficult when you first got, as you got acclimated? And I know you know coming in that this program is about defense. How was it everything you expected when you got on campus, or was it a little bit of shock to the system?
I mean, I don't know how to answer that. So, like, I knew, like, people can tell you one thing, but then when you experience it, it's totally different. So,
right.
like, I've heard, you know, practices are hard and it's a lot of defense and it's a grind and all that. And, like, when you hear that, you're like, okay, but you can't really prepare for it until you're in it. And so, yeah, being thrown in the fire the first however long practice was really rough, honestly. it was really physical. But, I mean, that's what you want, though. Like, you grow in uncomfortable situations. And so I feel like, I mean, it served me well. And like I said, it's made the games feel a lot better. Because I feel like I'm overly prepared in practice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, listen, you got the Mesa, up in a frenzy. I don't know that we've had a freshman that has gotten everybody this excited as you have, man. We certainly are behind you 100%, man. I want to continue to see you do well. Thanks for coming on and spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. LZ Harrington, freshman guard out of Long Beach. Getting a chance to get to meet the young man. He is an exciting player. He plays bigger than 6'5 to me when he's out on that court.
Yeah, 6'5's pretty massive for yeah. I think Mark Ziegler even said he was 6'6, so maybe he's listed an inch.
He might be a little
too,
bit
too short.
Just could still be growing at this young age of his. Just switching gears, they have announced an American League Cy Young.
Yes, they have.
Who do you think it was?
Tarek Skubal.
Yeah, I mean, it was really a kind of no-brainer there.
And Garrett Crochet kind of deserved
it. By the way, Garrett Crochet wasn't even, he couldn't make the, there was just a two-person video there. It was Hunter Brown.
Oh, that's true.
And Tarek Skubal. Crochet wasn't even on the screen. I don't know if he had other things or something popped up, but.
I mean, do they tell you, they don't tell you before, right?
Of course they do. That's how they you know you're up for it.
No, I mean, like, they don't tell you if you win or not.
I don't know if they tell you if you win or not.
Because I was going to say, maybe he knew he was going to win.
By the way, I love Tarek Skubal. Everywhere, he's got his, like, whole family.
He does.
And when I say whole family, I'm not talking about just immediate. Looks like some cousins,
there's like 20 people there.
There's a ton of people there. He wins really running away. Crochet, he had 198 total points. Crochet had 132, and Brown had 80. Max Fried, 61. Brian Wu. He had 26. So, Skubal's your Cy Young Award winner. We wait for the National League Award.
What do you think? I've been reading a lot that Skubal might be traded. Do you think?
He's been telling me he's going to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh,
too?
No, because they would actually have to make a trade. They can't just throw a bunch of money at him.
They did that to get Bookie Betts at the other guys have to. But never mind facts or anything.
You know what I did like, though? Actually, we're going to talk about it in the Big Five in about 7-8 minutes. Paul Skeens said he wants to play for one team.
Well, I don't think Paul's going to have much say in that. Sorry.
Who do I think is going to win NL?
Who do you think is going to win National League? Skeens?
Has to be.
Christopher Sanchez has got some momentum.
I do think there is something about being on a winning team.
I can't wait for tomorrow's, personally.
The MVP.
If the AL goes anything like it could go, there is going to be some upset people.
If Cal doesn't win?
If Cal wins. There's going to be a lot of upset people.
Get over yourselves, people.
I saw I think it was ESPN, but they had like a writer from Seattle, a writer from New York. And a man, the way my man from New York was talking was like, it would just be an atrocious decision.
What are we watching?
If it's even close.
What are we watching versus what are they watching?
I mean, if we're being nerds and statistical, just going off the stats alone, it really isn't that close, if we're being honest. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Judge's numbers, if just across the board, are just...
I mean, he did almost hit 400 for, like, the first 2 months.
However, it's the most value. And at the catching position, catching however many games he caught, and I know he wasn't the highest rated defender this year as he has been in the past, he still had to carry that load while also hitting 60-plus homers. That is going to matter in writers' eyes, no matter how you slice it. Because all of these writers aren't necessarily numbers guys in all cases.
Really?
You got to think about the dudes who have votes.
Yeah.
Not the younger generation of writer. So, I mean, they're all going to be factoring that stuff in, but I just have a feeling there are going to be some upset folks if it's not Aaron Judge tomorrow.
One of my favorite things about the baseball awards season is we get to see who votes for everybody and everything.
We do.
So
we do.
Last year we went after the Jackson Merrill people.
It's not you don't have to reveal who you are, right?
Oh, that's true. That's true.
All right, let's get to break. Big Five? On the other
big
side?
Five. We got a ton in the Big Five, including Paul Skeens. Tony found a funny picture.
It's such a guy thing. This picture is it's such a guy thing. Let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. LZ Harrington was brought to you by David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. We have ourselves a Big Five, and Scraby spent the time doing his Big Five versus the Gwen versus the fan questions. And so this, we all should feel like, should be an absolute doozy.
It's going to be a doozy.
This hour of sports talk is brought to you by SD Collectibles. Get ready, sports and Pokemon collectors.
Ooh.
Yeah, SD Collectible Cards Show is back at Liberty Station with over 1,000 vendor tables November 22nd and 23rd. Find sports cards, Pokemon, memorabilia, and more. Visit SDCollectibles.com for info. That's SDCollectibles.com. I turn it over to Scraby after some traffic.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. We're still awaiting the winner of the National League Cy Young Award, but what we did get to see was Paul Skeens being interviewed for his before the award was given out, and he definitely put some money into people to help him.
It's always funny to see the money start to matriculate itself through the person's life.
That's very true.
You know, he went from a college, like literally a college student,
yep,
into pro ball.
Yep.
And it doesn't happen as fast as you think it does, right?
No.
I think as a rookie, especially one that got to the big leagues as fast as Paul Skeens, yeah, like, you still are like, you still have a college mindset. And you get, I don't know if the right word is, influenced.
Ah, okay.
By your big league teammates. Hey, man, you can't be walking in here. You're a big leaguer now. You can't look like that.
I think Tommy Pham was that guy?
I'll tell you what. I guarantee he learned a few things from Tommy Pham.
I just thought it was because of Livy Dunn.
I mean, listen, he'd been with Livy Dunn for
a while.
That wasn't the change. The common denominator was big leagues.
She's always been with Paul Skeens, yeah, no matter what
he's
like.
She couldn't help
like
that style, but all of a sudden he got some, that money started to matriculate itself through his life. That skin looks a little bit clearer.
He's got a Raising Cane's commercial now.
He's still going to have to come up with some personality.
Yeah, he definitely
still,
needs
he's still
that.
Very dry. It might not be his thing. I ain't mad at that. But I have enjoyed watching the money kind of work its way through and looking better up on screen now. I remember last year when he was up there. He looked stiff
as a
board.
We were all talking about it. We're like, he's probably scared because Livy Dunn is staring at him.
It looked like he had the one jacket left that he had at LSU before he got
this, like, smoking jacket.
Right. Today, he looks like, oh, I've been here before. I'm going to make sure I look a little. You know, a lot of times what happens, too, is you see yourself on TV for the first time.
And you see, like, the jokes.
Like, damn. I'm gonna have to do better. I'm not gonna make a big deal about it, but next time I show up, I'm gonna show up correct.
And he did.
I imagine.
There was another Tony showed me this, and I put it on our Gwen and Chris Instagram. Just go to Instagram, Gwen and Chris, and it's on the story. But there was a guy who saw them, Paul Skeens and Livy Dunn, in the airport, and got a picture with Paul Skeens. I'm assuming
got a
Livy
picture
Dunn.
With both.
Yeah,
got a
I'm assuming Livy Dunn took the first
you
one.
You don't need to assume. Just look at the photos, and you know who took one picture, and you know who took the other.
Because Paul Skeens did not care that this guy wanted a picture with his girlfriend at all.
He cut his head clean off.
Clean off. There is no head in the picture.
It's one of the funny things that Kevin Hart does. You know how he's so short.
Yeah.
He purposely, like, if you take a picture with him and uh-huh. you're taller than him, like a lot taller, like most people are, he's making sure he is centered in the camera at all times. So if you are, 5'11",
yeah,
6', off with your head, he says.
That's hilarious. That is
every
so
one
funny
of his pictures.
See, that's fine with me because then I have that story behind it. But I think Paul Skeens just was like, I don't care.
Just
click.
That's exactly right.
And this guy, I mean, it is a little weird to ask to take a picture with someone's girlfriend in the airport.
Yeah. Unfortunately for Paul, I mean, that's kind of the way of life. I mean, his significant other is as famous, if not more famous, than he is.
Yeah, so both of them get the questions, but hilarious. Gwen and Chris Instagram story. You'll see that post.
Number 5.
So that's not even what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is something that was given to, I believe, Talkin' Baseball. And it was from an anonymous Pirates teammate, Tony. And he says this. We were talking about maybe the Dodgers going after Skubal. Well, they're not going to ever get Paul Skeens, apparently, because Paul Skeens' anonymous teammate said, trust me, he wants to play for the Yankees. I've heard him say it multiple times. Tony, you're up first. Why would an anonymous teammate do this?
There's so many clout chasers out there.
But anonymous.
That's what I'm saying. You're not even getting anything out of this.
Put your name on it. You can't.
I just think it's whack that you, like, if your teammate told you that and then you turned around and was an anonymous guy, like,
yeah,
I mean, trust me, he wants to go to the Yankees.
That's
even
so,
if it's true,
yeah,
it's
weird. Why are you talking about another guy's, like, future?
I don't know.
It is very strange.
I don't know who raised these folks.
But I will tell you this. Paul Skeens, well, he does have a beard. Oh, I guess they do allow beards now. He would be a perfect Yankee because he doesn't have a pulse. And he doesn't care about any of the outside noise. From what we see.
That's because he's playing in Pittsburgh right now.
Okay, good point.
We'll see how that really feels when he goes out there. Listen, if he continues to throw the ball the way he was, he won't have a problem anywhere he goes.
No, everybody's going to cheer him forever.
But you know, number four. Everybody's cool with New York until they get in New York, and they got to find out what that heat is real like.
Good point. I can barely handle the San Diego sports talk heat. Mike Kafka, I'm going to call him Kafka. He's the guy who is the interim head coach of the New York Giants. He made his first big decision. He has made a change to the quarterback depth chart. And Jameis Winston is going to start if Jackson Dart is unavailable Sunday against the Packers at home. The breakout rookie remains in concussion protocol, and the expectations he's not going to clear the protocol in time to play this weekend. Winston moves ahead of Russell Wilson, who started the first three games this season and then served as Dart's backup when he came out of the game the other day. So I'm up first. Is Russell Wilson done? I mean, I guess the writing's on the wall. I don't know why they would put... Jameis Winston cannot be better than Russell Wilson. I just can't. I can't go there. I just don't think...
Why can't you go there?
Because Jameis Winston's been the emergency quarterback all year. There's a reason that he's the emergency quarterback.
He's just been the third string quarterback.
But that's the emergency quarterback.
Is it?
Yeah. You have to designate someone as emergency quarterback.
Emergency quarterback.
Is Russell Wilson done? I figure he'll go to one other place, but I think he's coming close to the end here. I think he is. Tony?
Yeah, it pains me to say it. I think he is coming up towards the end. I don't want it to be that way. But it looks like that.
It does.
He hasn't looked good outside of one of the starts he had this year. He didn't look good in the backup moments when Dart left concussed again.
He's been checked four times this year.
Right. We don't know exactly how many he's had.
At least one, because
I think that Jameis is going to do fine. I don't think that he's not capable of being a better backup than Wilson is right now. So, they don't have much of a choice, because Dart's not coming back right now.
Not right now, no. He should probably sit out one game. Number three. GetUp's Mike Greenberg has an interesting name for Giants head coach, and it's not Bill Belichick. Have you seen those floating around, Tony? All of a sudden, the Giants head coach job becomes available. Bill Belichick's name goes through, but it's not him. Here's what Mike Greenberg said. You got Malik Nabers, you got Jackson Dart, you got Abdul Carter, and a bunch of other good players. That's going to be the most desirable job for coaches out there. And I'm just going to throw a name into the conversation. Mike Tomlin. End quote. Tony, do you think it's time for a change of scenery for Mike Tomlin?
No, not until we see how this project goes. I mean, it's probably one of the better teams he's had in a little bit, at least offensively. Defenses does look like they're starting to pick up the pace a little bit.
They are.
So, no, I don't think it's time. I don't see Mike Tomlin as that type of guy anyway. He seems like a very loyal individual. Now, if the Steelers aren't going to be loyal to him, which it doesn't seem like. It seems like even though the noise was pretty loud to move on from Mike Tomlin, that is not what they did.
True.
That's probably why Pittsburgh is always in a good spot, because they have smart people and they kind of let them do their thing. But I think the owner element is, if I'm Mike Tomlin and I just watched Brian Daboll get fired and the GM stay, and that GM's then going to be able to hire me. I don't know if I really want that.
It's not a good situation.
I don't know if that situation's good.
Which I still don't know how the GM has his job.
I think many New Yorkers have the same question.
Yeah, I could see all the comments right now in my, like, the owner said, well, he's put together a small nucleus of good players. And all the fans are like, it's taken him 5 years to get three guys? Like, what? What are we doing here?
Only with the playoffs one of those times, too. So it should have been more fruitful than that.
Yeah, I mean, he also literally on camera let Saquon Barkley leave in free agency. That could go down as the one
that we all remember. Because we got this. That was when they were still doing the off-season
hard knocks.
Hard knocks, yeah.
Yeah. Do I think it's time? I can't see him going to New York and joining kind of a circus of an organization. They're not fully circus organization, but the Steelers have a much better base for him right now. Number two. Philadelphia Eagles cornerback Jair Alexander has stepped away from football to focus on physical and mental recovery from offseason knee surgery, a league source told ESPN. The Eagles placed him on the reserve retired list today and activated cornerback Jacorian Bennett from injured reserve. Alexander informed the team of his decision Tuesday, the day after their win against the Packers on Monday Night Football, a former team of his, a game he did not attend. There's also reports that he is considering stepping away from the game completely and retiring. So this is a total scraby question here. Should you be able to reverse this trade? Because the Eagles traded for him at the deadline, got him, has not played a game with the Eagles, and now he's stepping away to deal with some stuff. So my question is, if you're the other, if you're the Eagles, should you get recourse for it? And the answer is, it's never going to happen. But yeah, I think so, Tony.
Why?
Because you maybe the Ravens knew something that the Eagles didn't know. Maybe they knew he was going to step away or something. So they got some draft picks for it, and then he did. But
what if they didn't know?
Well, that pokes a hole in my theory. It pokes a hole in my whole thing, Tony. But I think that if a guy gets traded to a team, you give up draft picks, and then immediately he decides that he might retire, there's got to be some recourse.
That's part of the risk of making a deal. You don't know what's...
I guess.
You know what you think you're getting, but you don't know what you're actually getting.
I guess. I mean, I know you're right. It just feels weird to me.
It's one of those tough luck situations, right? I mean, Eagles are an organization that above board. They do their homework.
Yeah.
Now, considering this was a last-minute deal, maybe they took a flyer, you know, what kind of picks they give up, by the
way? Like 6th and 7th rounders. So it wasn't like a huge
price. The Eagles stockpile those type of picks, too. So, like...
do.
I don't know. I don't think... I think when you are making a trade, there is risk that comes along with it. This is part of it. I don't think it happens often where a guy's like, I need a mental break.
Yeah.
But you are playing football. And we just... you know... we just saw what happened to the young man in Dallas. Like, these... mental health situations can,
Marshawn Nealon.
Yeah, can spiral out in ways that you can't imagine. So let's hope
Jair
Alexander gets himself back ready and get that Bart first, and then you worry about the football after. But I don't think there should be any recourse. You get what you get.
You made a good point, though, with I think he's obviously doing the right thing, step away and focus on his mental health and recovery from knee surgery, because you're right. Marshawn Nealon, it should be a reminder that sometimes you just shouldn't push through it.
Step away, yeah.
Yeah. Number one. All right. Justin Turner has been released by the... no, he wasn't even on the Mets. Anyway, 12 years and 1,416 hits. I don't know what's happening here.
Was he released?
No, I think he was on the Cubs last year. Anyway, I got this from John Heyman. Let me just read his tweet.
Yeah, go ahead, dog.
12 years and 1,417 hits after the Mets released him. Justin Turner, now 40, would love to keep playing. He's here in Las Vegas to play in the MLB golf event. He says it's up to the other 30 clubs. If he does call it a career, Tony, how will Justin Turner be remembered? Are we going to forget completely about Justin Turner in 30 years?
Justin's a really, really good ball player. I don't think Padre fans are
going to forget him. He's going to be firmly implanted in our head.
He's going to be in the black men conversation of Padre killers.
Oh, yeah. Jan Gomes forever. Can go in there,
yes,
as well.
For sure. I think we'll remember him as a really good ball player. And for me, a guy that was in a similar role than I was and turned his career into a point where he could have 1,400 hits.
Yep, 1,400.
1,400 hits. That's crazy. I mean, for a guy who spent the first half of his career as a platoon guy, mm-hmm, and then turned himself into a marquee guy in one of the biggest stages, that ain't nothing to sneeze at.
No, not at all. And if someone annoys you like Justin Turner annoyed me, that means you're pretty good, because you don't get annoyed by people who aren't good. So
That is correct, Scrape. Glad you noticed that.
I'm glad we're making it through this show.
5 o'clock means the happy hour on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.